Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Welcome, 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 and one more welcome, all you beautiful people. Thank you for joining me today for this episode of the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. All lesser values devolve into, slide into the dark hole of BS. And you know what that is, right? Yeah, bait and switch, or perhaps something else that crossed your mind. Point is, love is the only satisfying and credible value for human relationships. Today I'm going to talk about two simple words, each other. Each other. Love is what glues us to each other. So I'll get into that momentarily. But here on the No BS Bishop, I do some things that keep me between the intellectual white lines of the highway, the emotional white lines of the highway, so that I'm headed in a healthy course. And the first thing we do is I share with you Love's Creed. It's a creed that I wrote as a New Year's resolution many years ago, and I've edited it many times over the years, down to this now, a creed that I carry close to my heart. I invite you to carry it close to your heart to help sustain us as we walk in this world with each other. Remember, those are the two words that will define today's broadcast. So we'll do that in just a moment, followed by the Lord's Prayer. So join me, if you will, first of all, in the Love's Creed. All right. Love's Creed is just some satisfying words that just wrap around us, pull us upward towards some goals that can sustain us as we walk through this world with each other. All right, here we go. I'll read it in total. I'll come back to it and offer it to you in short bursts and ask you to repeat after me. But first, here it is in total. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I am alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. I know I wrote it, so I'm feeling rather proud of that collection of words there. But when I was reading through that, it just carried me through some scenarios in my instant little movie house in my little mind, just things that I think of when I say those words. All right, I'm going to repeat this in short bursts, and then you repeat after me. I think it's so important for us to say things that are creeds or like Pledge of Allegiance or other things that are satisfying to our goals and our purposes in this world and life. I'm a participant in those kind of things, even as we'll do in a moment, the Lord's Prayer. When I hear my voice saying things that are that valuable, I think something gets registered down inside of me that's nothing else can satisfy. All right, so here we go. Love's Creed. You repeat after me. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I am alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. Well, there you have it. If you'd like a copy of that, I would be happy to send it to you if you'd email me at randydeanministries@gmail.com. That's Randy Dean Ministries, all one word, all lowercase, @gmail.com. I'd be delighted to send you a copy, and there's no bait and switch in that. There's no BS in that. It's just me trying to serve you in the best way I know how, and I would be glad to get it to you so that you've got it. You can put it in your phone or your iPad or your device or your computer, or just write it on a 5x7 card so you've got it ready to repeat, to especially if you run across the temptation to hate, the temptation to be angry with each other. That's my topic today, don't forget. So it's something that can help keep you on course, is Love's Creed. Now I want to share with you, and I want you to join with me in the Lord's Prayer. This prayer has such a powerful filtering capacity for washing through our mind, washing through our thoughts, and giving us connection and communion with God. The Lord's Prayer was taught by Jesus to his disciples when they said, "Teach us how to pray." And then Jesus gave these powerful words. And now we've prayed that prayer millions and millions of times over the past 2,000 years. Isn't it encouraging to you to know that you've joined with however many people all these years saying the words of Jesus, who his prayers always were answered? And in that context, he gave us a prayer that we can trust and stand to know. These words are not only to be answered, but they're words that are to be used as a soul filter for us. All right? If you know the Lord's Prayer, fine, and join with me. If you don't, just let me carry you along in the words. Let's pray as the Lord Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Once again, what a standing for me to have my understanding girded in the Lord's Prayer. What a beautiful opportunity to give our thoughts and our minds communion with God in connection to that solid set of words given to us by Jesus Christ. Well, I told you earlier a few times that today's subject may sound very simple, but it is rather complex as it relates to love. Love is the glue that and the cohesion that works when it comes to two little words in the English language. Two little words, each other, our relationship to each other, how we practice respect with each other, how we treat each other, how we see each other. So you see where I'm going there. Those two simple words are a doorway. They're a doorway into our capacity for managing how the world works and how we make this world turn and how we see each other, how we're walking with each other in something of other than just tolerance or intolerance, I should say. But love is the thing that is the nuclear core of viewing each other. You see, we're in an inextricable, unmistakable, unavoidable process in this life as we're living and breathing in our day-to-day world. We are inextricably joined to each other. I can't even get in my car and drive down the road without having to consider the other driver, to make sure that the coast is clear when I'm pulling out into a highway, making sure that the four-way stop is working, functioning with each other. I'm looking in the eye of the other car that just arrived at the four-way stop the same time I did, and we've got to cooperate with each other in order to make that work. here in Wisconsin, we have roundabouts like you're probably seeing all over the nation. I personally like them. I think they're helpful. But I do know in a roundabout, you have to consider each other. There's no way you can make that little traffic circle work until you know I got to deal with the other drivers that are in this traffic circle. To be sure, some people don't know how to use it. To be absolutely honest about it, there are other people in a four-way stop or a traffic circle or even just driving down the highway in a straight line. There are other people not cognizant of managing each other well. Now, I can get all twisted up and bent out of shape, and I have. I'm just like any human being. I can fuss at people even though they can't hear me, and I'd rather they didn't hear me. But I know that my management of life is going to have to work around everything that has to do with each other. I am convinced. I'm convinced that we're in some kind of, on many levels, I think we're in some kind of fantasy that we think if I just didn't have to deal with other people, all my life would be simple. And I beg to differ. I simply believe that we've been put in this world by God, by a divine genius, to make sure that we are never alone, but that we're somehow dealing with each other in a way that causes each other to grow, each other to be healed, to be sustained, to be supported. See, I can't live this life alone. As much as I might try to be a hermit, I just cannot get away with it. I'm hardwired for relationship. I'm hardwired for the other, which is why I tell people often, we cannot afford to demonize other people, whoever they are, for whatever the reasons we may have. We may think we've got the most legitimate reasons in the world to demonize some group of people, but everybody, I'm an other to somebody, and everybody else is an other to somebody. So the sooner we can come to the conclusion that walking with each other in the power of love is the only way we're going to sustain human relationships, human quality, is how do we get along with each other. Now, let's go to an extreme in this matter, and that's like what we hear in the news every day, especially the past year. This week is the one-year anniversary of the sad brutalizing of citizens, Israeli citizens, at a music festival by Hamas, and then the Israeli response to that in invading Gaza, and on and on and on it goes. In the past year, it's been just heart-wrenching to see how nations or groups of people treat each other. So that's an extreme. We're in an inextricable cycle internationally in managing relationships with each other. So that's why we have foreign ministers. That's why we have the United Nations. That's why we have the International Court. That's why we have so many tribunals and things that manage us with each other. Unfortunately, this is why we have militaries, because we have to find a way to protect ourselves from each other. So however that works out and however that shakes out, we all are involved in it, right? I'm involved in it, whether I'm ever a part of a war or not. And I just have to say, I've never been in the military. I almost went to Vietnam, but I didn't join the military. I was almost drafted. I didn't dodge the draft. But the point is, I was, as a young lad in the 60s, I was caught in that cycle of the international intrigue of how we treat each other. So that's an extreme. Now, on the simplest of all sides, we're in this world today, and I, as I said when I started, I can't even get in my car alone and drive down a road alone without somewhere encountering another person. Now I'm challenged with managing my life with each other. Fortunately, most of us understand instinctively If I'm going to drive my car, I got to get along with folks. I cannot afford to be in a constant road rage. I cannot afford to be out of love with the person in front of me or the behind me or passing me or me passing them. I have to be a full-grown adult and manage my relationship on a road with each other. Now, that's the simplest of all. Maybe not simple, but at any rate, it's one example. Now, when we get to family, that's it complicates everything again. Because with family, we're again managing these intricacies, these misunderstandings, these assumptions, which I think a lot of misunderstandings are only assumptions. So when we make assumptions about each other, well, now we're in some sort of silent conflict or some kind of silent crisis, or perhaps it's not so silent. Maybe it's quite verbal. But here's where I fall in the middle of whether it's international relationships with each other, or neighborly or driving relationships with each other, or familial relationships with each other. I'm convinced the only power to keep us from self-destructing is love. Will I decide to love? Will I hold to love's creed and remind myself I'm alive to love? I'm not taking in extra calories, eating, sleeping, and breathing, and resting to gain energy for causing pain. No, this is not my life. My life is about being a planning, dreaming designer that's locked into all things of love. That's love's creed. It's recognizing that as I manage this world and my life with each other, all the others around me, that love's going to be the only concrete glue that's going to keep me attached to another. And that my management of all others must be held in this container I call love. I've been here on this radio broadcast for 5 years, and I've told you every week, love is not a sprint. You can't just run fast and have it all done. No, love is a marathon. It's a lifelong marathon. It's a pilgrimage. It's not a walk around the block. It's a climb up a mountain that's going to take a lot of planning and strategy. I'm not a fan of the phrase falling in love. Now, I understand what it is, and my wife and I fell in love with each other, but I got to tell you, we have fallen in our love along the way. Even though we've been married 50 years, we've fallen into traps of anger and frustration and agitation with each other many times. I remember hearing a guy tell me one time that he and his wife never fought. They had been married 50 plus years. And this man was standing there bragging to me. I was his pastor. Oh, the wife and I have never fought. Well, the wife, that's an interesting phrase, was standing right behind him. And I could see her face as he said, "The wife and I have never fought." And I could see her face glaze over, and she gently rolled her eyes. Not so much for my sake, but out of the frustrating reality that she knew better. She knew there was no such thing as "we've never fought." I know in that particular relationship, like many, she and he didn't fight much, because it was a monologue, because he would do all the talking and she would do all the absorption of the punishment verbally. Now, that again, that is not love. That is not love. That is something other than love. And that may be just a tolerance of each other. But I don't think God put us on this good green, blue earth, I call it the blue space canoe. God didn't put us here to paddle on this in through this universe and this wild journey of life. He didn't put us here to tolerate each other. He put us here to love each other, to take into consideration the hospitality factor and accountability factor, that we help each other, that we love each other in a way that shows the extra mile to the other person, to ask questions, even if they're hard to ask, and to ask them without being antagonizing, to ask questions of each other. So that, I mentioned earlier the extremes of each other being international intrigue and wars. How about we find a way to put away war and have the opportunity to ask each other hard questions. I know that's the United Nations goal and hope. And I know that's the goal of Scripture when it says they'll beat their swords into plowshares and they will learn war no more. In fact, that passage of Scripture is on the cornerstone of the building in the in New York of the United Nations. They borrow from the dream, the prophetic imagination, the prophetic dream. I believe it's of the prophet Isaiah who said they will beat their swords into plowshares and they will learn war no more. Oh, please, could we please learn? That's the only way to manage each other is through love. Love that says I'd rather feed you than kill you. Love that says I'd rather sustain you than exterminate you. Do you understand what I mean? This is how we need to see each other. So that in the in this great puzzle of life, we're considering how to ask good questions of each other. And then when we ask the question, love says, I'm going to listen deeply. I'm going to listen beyond my ordinary, self-satisfying ways of listening. I'm going to listen for words that I may have to ask along the way. What did you mean when you said? Not in a, again, not in a fighting way, but in a way that says, I'm interested in us being healed as we walk together with each other. Listen deeply. Maybe you'll hear something in listening to the other that you haven't heard before. Maybe you've heard it, but you didn't really hear it and know the story behind their cry to be heard. This is, again, love's value is literally the miraculous value of how to salvage humankind. Jesus told the disciples when they were just a fledgling little group that were going to form the beginnings of what we now know as the great massive religion of Christianity in the world. Jesus said, by this will all people know, that's powerful, that you have love for one another. You could put it in my words today, that you have love for each other. This is the proof text. This is the sign on your metaphorical building, love. This is where love lives. This is where love is in charge of what we do with each other. My heart breaks. I mean, right now we're in the middle of a nasty and just crushing political system. Once a political journey, that's the word I'm looking at, a political cycle here in the United States. And it's so painful for me to observe how we're treating each other in our ads and in our attacks. In fact, we even call our ads attack ads. Oh, it's wearisome. And I think of children who have to endure watching adults behaving this way with each other. It's beyond the pale, folks. And I'm inviting you to consider in your own world. Now, I can't change the whole political system, although I can do one thing. I can do this. I can do something with me. You can do something with you as you view each other. Let's put on the lenses of love. Let's put on the mindset of love. Let's install love's creed, not just in our reciting, but in how we live.